Ezekiel chapter 16. I'm going to start reading at verse number 46. Prophet Ezekiel speaking as the voice of God to a nation that had backslid on God, a nation that had turned away from God in judgment, was on their heels. Starting at verse number 46, "And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." Therefore I took them away as I saw good. But the Lord would help me, and if you'd really pray for me tonight, I'd sure appreciate it. I'd like to preach on the subject, ancient Israel, ancient Sodom, and modern day America. Is there much difference? When we take a look at America and the direction that America has gone in, when we look at Israel, not speaking of the Israel of Solomon's day, when that Israel was bountiful with riches, and she was free of war and full of glory. Perhaps we can look at the Israel of Ezekiel's day, when God was crying out to Israel to repent, crying out to Israel to turn, to amend their ways. He told them what to do when they got to Canaan. If they'd only done what God told them to do when they got to Canaan, everything would have been all right. Israel, through the years, they was like a backsliding heifer. And they'd backslide and they'd go back from what God wanted them to do. God, being a just God, would have to bring judgment on them. God would bring the Assyrians upon them to punish them and take them into captivity. God would bring the Babylonians upon them to punish them, to bring them into captivity. How often are the children of God, sometimes we feel like we get whippings, but later on we realize that we deserved those whippings. I've got whippings and I said, "Hey Lord, you're being pretty tough on me right now." But after a while I recognized that He loved me. I recognized that He was trying to embrace me and I wouldn't be embraced. So He had to chastise me as a father that loves his son would chastise him. And after I realized what God was doing, I thanked Him for the trial. I thanked Him for the testing. I thanked Him for the show of love that God had given me. Consider tonight Israel, ancient Israel and ancient Sodom in this chapter number 16 of Israel. And consider the modern day America that you and I live in. You don't have to go far to see that America's corrupt. I love America. I love the American flag. Amen. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm not proud of the direction that our leaders have gone in. I'm not proud of the things that they've passed and the things that looks like America should have stood against, but somebody was asleep when we needed to have been praying in the schools. Amen. Somebody was asleep and it come through and they took it out. Somebody was asleep when the first abortion took place and nobody cried out loud enough to stop it. Amen. Because our nation is went in a compromising, backsliding condition. If anything tonight, I want to embed into our hearts another reason that we ought to pray, 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 pray in this hour that we're living in. If anything is done and accomplished through this message, I hope that my heart is gripped as well as yours tonight to recognize the need to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to pray for those that are in authority among us, to pray for the elections coming up, not just to passively say, I'm this or I'm that, I'll vote this way or that way, but to pray that men's hearts and the Christian community would see the need to pray and to hear from God and to know what way to vote when the election time comes. Amen. But look at Israel first. And as I look at Israel, I'll have to look at America in comparison. Again, the word of the Lord, verse number 1, came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Cause her to know. He said, Ezekiel, tell them what has caused me to get disgusted with their ways. Tell them, show them, bring it to their attention. Don't be shut mouth. Don't be quiet about it. Don't be afraid you're going to offend. But show them where they have been detestable in the sight of God. On down there. He began to remind them of how pitiful they were. He began to remind them how low they were, how out in the cold they were before that God brought them up and caused them to be the nation they were. In verse number 5, he said, None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. He was just like a baby that had been born, had never been washed, amen, had never been taken care of as a newborn is, just cast out into the field. But God said, I pitied you. I reached down and I picked you up. Has not America seen that same thing happen to her? Come over that water, amen, running from the rulership of the king. They wanted to be able to worship God in freedom. Amen. In freedom, in spirit, and in truth. Obviously, they could not do that where they were. And they came to this land just a little handful of nothing. But God said, because you want to worship me, because you want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, I'll reach down and I'll lift you up and I'll clean you up and I'll make of you a great nation. Did he not do that to America? And she brought her up the great nation, as one man said, some atheist said one time, I heard this a long time ago. He said, that American flag looks like a candy cane, making fun and light of the American flag. The response to the atheist was, but look, or the foreigner was, look, it might look like a candy cane, but that's one piece of candy that ain't been licked yet. Hallelujah. Oh, but listen, you better be thankful she ain't been licked yet. Amen. But God's not going to keep his hand of protection if we don't keep reaching up to have that hand of protection. None I pity thee. But he said in verse 7, part of verse 7, he said, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed and great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. In verse 8, I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Israel, he said, you have become mine. You are mine. The word of God said in one place that Israel was the apple of God's eye. And do you know that God loves America? Do you know that God loves this country that we're living in? Has he not in a spiritual way reached down and done the same thing? Spread his skirt over America and said, hey, you're going to be mine. America the beautiful. God bless America. My country, 'tis of thee. His grace has shined on thee. We have been blessed. We've been brought into his love. We have been graced with the outpouring of his spirit in these days and hours that we're living in. We are in comparison to, you know, I'm not saying we're the spiritual Israel, but amen, we've been blessed like Israel was. We've been held and taken in just like Israel loved. Was God loved America? But as we consider Israel, ancient Israel, is there much difference? in the modern day America, looking at our heritage, where we came from, looking at our heritage of how God blessed this nation. And oh, listen, she's still being blessed by God despite her whoredoms, despite her fornications, despite her backsliding. She's still blessed. But how long will those blessings remain? How long until another 9/11 will take place somewhere else? How long? There is fear in the White House. There's somebody fearful all the time in our country now, wondering, is it going to be another terrorist attack? The enemy's learned just how to do it. Amen. They realized that they couldn't come over here and park their boats on the shore and unload them and come into our land. But they found a way to come on the inside, the same way that Satan has found that he can destroy the physical church tonight. He realized that throwing tomatoes and rotten eggs and burning the churches down would not stop the move of God. And so he came and he sat down on the pew. Amen. And he's corrupted inside the body, the physical body of Christ. Oh, but listen, there still is a remnant alive in the church that says that Jesus is Lord and there's none other. There's still a remnant alive in our country today that says that we are still God's people. And for the remnant's sake, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. He said, I spread my skirt over thee. Covered thy nakedness, yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. But on down in verse number 15, we see a change of character in Israel. We see that there had been some changes that have been made in this great nation that God made a covenant with. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. You trusted in your own beauty, Israel. You trusted in your own good looks. You trusted in what you could do. You trusted in what you could provide. You trusted in yourself. Therefore, things begin to go wrong. Have we not boasted in our security? Have we not boasted, Brother Michael, that never has war except for the Civil War, maybe some revolutionary war, but never has the enemy from overseas come on our ground? Haven't we boasted of that? We boasted of our own status. We trusted in our own selves as a whole, not everybody, but as a whole, as a nation. Ancient Israel, modern day America, is there much difference? On down in verse number 20, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be delivered. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire? For them, have allowed things to go on, allowed their children to be used as sacrifices unto the gods of the land. Verse 22, and in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. Verse 25, thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. I thought of America, how that she's the land of the brave. She's the land of liberty. How that in a rightful way, she said, our arms are open unto the lonely. Our arms are open unto the fugitives, unto those that are in need of a place to stay. Our arms are open, and so the immigrants, they begin to flow in. That's good. That's all right. But she failed to stop and do some measurement there. She failed to stop and do some status checking and say, wait a minute, you're welcome to come. We'll feed you. We'll clothe you, but you're going to have to leave that God that you've been worshiping over there. You'll have to leave that God over there. You can't bring that Eastern religion over here, but we didn't do it. We said you can come on and bring whatever you want to. Bring it with you. Until now in this hour we're living in. Did you know, I wish I knew the percentage of Muslims that's in the United States of America. It's high. It's very high. Do you know the percentage of Hindus on American soil today? It's high. The percentage of Buddhists, all these Eastern religions, we said, come on in. Amen. In a way of saying it, we uncovered our feet to everybody that passed by and said, look, you can come in under our skirt and make covenant with us and eat our bread and teach our children and direct our ways and become our idols of our land. Amen. Where did the Beatles come from? They didn't come from American soil, but they come from over there in Liverpool, England. Amen. And they begin to spread that gospel of iniquity and sin with their music. And our young people embraced it and took it on. And more and more of it came over here. And the sad commentary of it tonight is there are people today, preachers of the gospel supposedly, that have thought that the Beatles came over here under the charge of God Almighty to show us a new way to praise God through music. Didn't happen that way. God's way has been holiness, and God's way is still holiness, and that's the way we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. But they uncovered their feet, opened their feet to everyone that passed by. Amen. You see, our arms are open here, our doors are open here at Silver Creek Church of God to the lonely, to the lost, to the depraved. But they're not open for them to bring in their religion to teach our children. They're not open to bring in their ungodliness to teach our people. They're open for them to find refuge from the storm. They're open for them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're open to have a free access to an altar to pray. They're open to have you and I to put our arms around them and to love them through Christ Jesus, to love them to the truth of God's holy word. But America has opened her doors up without any reservation, it seems, and let anything come in. And look where we are today. The greatest fear upon our soil today is a revolt of those enemies that are on our soil right now. How did they come about getting a license to fly airplanes, to fly those planes into the Twin Towers? They were already here. Guess who trained them to fly an airplane? If I understand right. American money. American pilots. American schools. Ancient Israel. Modern day America. Is there much difference in the two? But then in our text, he begins to talk about his thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters. They dwell at thy left hand. Thy younger sister that dwell at thy right hand is Sodom and her sisters. But he said, Israel, you've done worse than Sodom has. Israel's done worse than Sodom. How bad can you get when we consider the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? But he said, you've done worse than they've done. How much like America is Sodom? He said and explained what the iniquity of Sodom was. That iniquity, that word iniquity, is a Hebrew word that means illegality, violation of law, wickedness, unrighteousness. I've been trying to divide sin and iniquity all day long, Brother Mark. I'm having trouble with it, but there's a difference in the two. Haven't come to a settled thing, Brother Williams. You might can tell me after church. Amen. Long as you've been around, you might know the difference. A real simple difference to tell my little brain. Amen. But the bottom line of both of them is they're going to be judged by God. I do know that the iniquity is what closed God's ears and shut his eyes from Israel. When he said, "Is my hand, is my," I forgot the exact quotation, "is my hand not too short? Is my ears not where I can hear? But your iniquity," I believe what he said, "your iniquity has separated you and I." Iniquity, I often think that it's the sin of those that profess to know good and they don't do good. Church of God, a retired preacher over around South Carolina told me a few months ago, he said he believed that iniquity, and he called it this iniquity. He said, "I believe that iniquity is when people once believed that something was wrong and they go on down life's road and they had laid it down and they pick it back up." He said, "That is iniquity to them. Either way you measure it up, God's not happy about it." But the sin, the iniquity of Sodom, was this. He said that their sin was pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Want to look at the iniquity of Sodom for a little while? Consider the fullness of bread that was part of that iniquity of Sodom. You know, it's nothing wrong to be full of bread, to have plenty of bread to eat, really. Abraham had flocks and herds. He had plenty. I don't believe he ate everything he had in one day and had to go out and get some more flocks the next day. Can you say amen? I believe that was all right and God was pleased with it. So what's wrong with the fullness of bread that Sodom had? The fact remains that they were not grateful for where it come from. I believe that the fullness of bread that caused it to be iniquity to them was they took it for granted that God blessed them with it and failed to give God the praise for it. And ultimately they failed to share what they had with those that was in need. It all ties in together. Fullness of bread. Look at Sodom when Lot's herdmen and Abraham's herdmen begin to have that vice, begin to have that schism. Abraham said, "We be brethren. We don't need to fight. Let's separate." He said, "You choose which way you want to go." The Bible says that Lot looked and he saw what? He lifted up his eyes, Genesis 13 and 10, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. It was well watered, meaning that thing could grow whatever he wanted. That piece of ground could grow everything he wanted. He wouldn't have to go down across the river. He wouldn't have to go across the plain to find somebody selling hay to feed his cows. Amen. Everything he needed was right there. It was well favored. It was full of bread. Lot chose that. And that's a picture of Sodom. Amen. The only picture we look at sometimes is a picture of a homosexual active town. But it was a well-watered plain and a place that was well-favored with agricultural benefits. America's been blessed. Can you consider the blessings that America has been blessed with? A fullness of bread. All the tragedies that take place in our nation. Amen. It seems like it always bounces back. South Florida will bounce back. Might get hit again in a few days. But she'll bounce back by God's grace and by God's blessings. Amen. America, you see it maybe today more than ever. You'll see it in the ghettos and in the big cities, starvation and hunger. But never in the mainline view of people have you seen that in America. It's always been in the low places, in the low part of town, but the majority of Americans live decent if they're not living above average. Am I right? The majority of Americans live decent. I'm not saying they're all rich. I'm not saying they're all wealthy, but they're certainly not starving to death while cows walk around without no harm of death. Hey, man, we eat all the beef we want. We eat all the pork we want. We eat all the bird meat we want if we got the money to buy it and the provision is there. I get to wondering sometimes. I may start rambling a little bit. You better pray. Hallelujah. I wonder sometimes. I heard an interview from a man in Washington, D.C. It's been a year or so ago. He said he'd been unemployed for a year and a half. or maybe 2 years. Amen. I thought, my Lord, why is this man sounding like he wanted a job? But you know what the problem was, Brother Guyton? He wasn't willing to flip hamburgers. He wasn't willing to put chili on hot dogs. He wasn't willing to wait on tables. He wanted something in the career where he was. And so he sat on the street and begged rather than do something that was possible to do. Amen. I know sometimes there's a need that is greater there than to do that. But if you go for a year and a half and 2 years, a little bit is better than nothing. A little bit is better than nothing. But anyway, fullness of bread. The Bible says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If your riches increase, he said, don't set your heart upon them. Solomon was well favored, was well blessed, fullness of bread, and they set their heart upon it. You see, one sin will lead to another sin. I don't believe a homosexual just wakes up one day and decides he's going to be a homosexual. I don't believe that. I believe that they begin to play, begin to look, begin to entertain, begin to be lifted up in pride and haughtiness and separation from the knowledge of God. And then that sin gets greater and greater and greater and greater upon them. A drunkard wasn't a drunkard because he drunk one beer. That one beer started the road, started the snowball rolling down the hill. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The fullness of bread, it's all right, but they set their heart upon their riches. Now, pride is brought about because of fullness of bread. They put their heart upon it. They lifted themselves up. This is what God's word says was the iniquity of Sodom. The iniquity of Sodom. They set their heart upon their possessions. They set their heart upon the fullness of bread, without appreciation for the blessing of the bread. Spurgeon said, there's nothing into which the heart of man so easily falls as pride. And yet there is no vice that is more frequently, more emphatically, and more eloquently condemned in Scripture. Pride. The haughtiness of pride, of lifting oneself up. As the preacher was told about and telling his church, I think you need prayers more than I do. Don't pray for me. Could it be he's lifted himself up in pride and said, I'm well authoritative on the issue that I can pray for myself and I don't need your prayers. I want you to know again, I need your prayers. I don't need just your prayers. I need your praying for me. I'm talking about that when you're tearing the carpet out and you're clawing on down on the floor and you're seeking God. Call this preacher's name out. I need it. I need it. Amen. But they lifted themselves up in pride, the Bible says, and high look and a proud heart. And the plying of wicked is sin. Amen, Brother Jasper gave us that one Sunday morning. The plying of wicked is sin. Pride and high look, a proud heart. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Pride, the iniquity of Sodom, the iniquity of America. Pride has lifted us up into without God. That is what they're saying. It doesn't sound like that, but Lord, that is what they're saying. When they say don't pray, they're saying God is not important. We can make it on our own. We're big enough ourselves. Pride. The iniquity of Sodom. Pride. The iniquity of America. Pride. Oh, hallelujah. I almost got political here, but I'll leave that alone. Praise the Lord. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. There's no good result at the end of pride. I told you about Brother Hughes, how that he preached one night. Oh, God anointed the man to preach. And praise the Lord. Somebody come up to him and said, Brother Hughes, man, that was preaching tonight. I mean, you preached tonight. And he breathed the prayer. He said, oh God, keep me humble.
Because he didn't want pride to lift him up. You know, it's easy. If somebody brag on you long enough, you say, hey, you know, they might be right. I may have the message of the hour. They may be right. You know, I can do it. Now, you know, if I do good, let me know. And pray for me and I'll stay on. You know how it is, Brother Michael. You know those times when they just look at you and they're still looking at you when you walk out the door. You feel like crawling under a pew. I've had some of those times. Praise the Lord. But you preach tonight, Brother Hughes. He said, Lord, keep me humble. And I think about that time they said he stepped off the podium. This little old lady walked up to her, little old beady eyes. She said, Brother, if you think that was preaching tonight, you've got a long way to understand. If you think that was preaching tonight, you're sadly mistaken. He said, Lord, I didn't know you'd humble me that quick. Praise the Lord. But God, we need God to humble us sometimes. What happened? Oh, somebody tell me what happened 2001, September the 11th. Was it God trying to humble a nation? Oh, listen, that wasn't 30 or 40 killed in a bus accident. That wasn't 20 or 30 killed in a hurricane. How many? Was it 3,000 plus? Amen. Lives taken by the hand of an enemy, by the hand of a foreigner. They say the church is filled up. This one, we didn't see no difference here. I checked around other churches that hold a standard of holiness and preach the holiness message. They didn't feel. Either. I said, what's going on? How come they ain't coming our way? Because they done heard our message. Our message was that God will judge sin. And they didn't want to hear that again. They didn't want to hear a reminder of what God was doing. They wanted to hear, oh, God loves you. And all this, He does love you. But God is a God of wrath when sin is prevalent in our land. I believe God was trying to humble a proud and haughty nation that's just about forgotten God in her leadership and in the corridors of the White House and in many areas. Amen. But they did not hear the call. They did not heed the call. It wasn't long those same churches that packed out shortly thereafter, they come back down to the same attendance status. Do you know why? Because the proud, haughty hearts only wanted to be pacified and get some fear washed out of their mind for just a few moments. I'm telling you, Church of God, we need more than the fear washed out of our mind for just a few moments. But we need to see the handwriting on the wall and get a hold of the horns of the altar and call on the name of God like we never called on Him before. Oh, Jesus. Ancient Israel, ancient Solomon, modern day America, is there much difference? Is there much difference? Is there much difference? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Fullness of bread brought on in Sodom the haughtiness. Look what we've got. Look what we are. Look how big we are. I worked for a company in early 80s called Malone and Hyde. Drug distributors. We sold health and beauty aids, houseware, general merchandise, and pharmaceuticals to drugstores. I was young and the Lord fairly well, wasn't that young, much younger than I am now. But a store manager told me something one day that I've never forgotten. He was angry at our company, big company out of Memphis, Tennessee. I mean, big booming company. Years later, they sold out to Fleming Foods. You've heard of them. Big company out west, I think, where they're from. Anyway, Malone and Hyde was a powerful, strong company at the time. But he said he was frustrated because we couldn't get him the kind of deal he wanted or couldn't get the merchandise he wanted. Something was wrong. He was a pain to deal with anyway. Amen. But always fussing about something. But he made the statement. He said, your company you work for, and I was a company man. Asked Sister Morgan. I mean, I got up and went to work. When I come home, I fed her Malone and Hyde. Amen. While she's trying to feed me supper, I was feeding her Malone and Hyde. If this happened on the job today and that. Company man, I mean, I was proud to have Malone and Hyde on the side of that van, company van I drove. Amen. I was proud to have a hat and have MH on it. I'm a Malone and Hyde man, worker, employee. Amen. I think whoever you work for, you ought to feel that way about it. Brother Mark, you feel that way about Edward Brothers. Praise the Lord. Amen. Henderson Sons, the best funeral parlor in town, ain't it, Brother Elder? Amen. You ought to feel that way, but thus don't go overboard like I almost did. She got so sick of hearing it, I know she did. Amen. And I begin to, let me, this is a pause. I'm going to get back to what he said. I haven't told you what he said yet. I'm feeling good, Brother Doyle. This is when they get long handed. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I come to a point. I love that job so much. I'm going to throw this in here for your good. Amen. If you're not getting good out of anything else, get good out of this. Oh, I begin to see the handwriting on the wall. I said, oh, Lord, help me not to be so tied up and wrapped up and involved in this job that I'm letting my Bible study slack. I'm letting my concentration and meditation on God slack. God quickened me to see the road that I was about to slip and go down. Because I love that job. I was proud to have it. Amen. But I loved it so much, and God quickened me and said, okay, I'm going to cut back on it, feeding my wife Malone and Hyde every night. Amen. And back off on that. Get back focused on what I need to be and what I need to do. But you see, God miraculously gave me that job. And oh, it was glorious. I had to take time sometime to tell you how it seemed like it's, well, I won't take, well, if you wait on me, I'll tell you tonight. Praise the Lord. But I won't. Just if you want to know, ask me later. They don't have time tonight. That's your effort. But God gave it to me. Miraculous to me. Just like that, it happened. But anyway, the big company, large company, he said, this company you're working for is a sleeping giant. I said, what are you saying about me? I'm a company man here. It's on my truck out there, sir. It's on the side of the van. What are you talking about? He said, they're a sleeping giant. You know what he meant by that? A giant is big and a giant is powerful, but if he goes to sleep, the little people can tie him up. Gulliver's Travels, was that a book we read in school? Is that the one where the giant fell asleep and they put stakes all around his feet and his hands and they tied him? Did you read it, Brother Dorn? Part of it was in school. Praise the Lord. We must be about to say. No, I'm a few years younger, but I remember seeing the picture in a book. I remember the picture. I don't remember the reading of it. But the giant fell asleep. They tied him down. They took advantage of him, and they won the victory over him. Tonight, as far as I know, there is not a Malone and Hyde drug distributors in Memphis, Tennessee. If it is, it's a very small corporation because they busted up and sold out. America's a sleeping giant. That's the reason she lost 3,000 souls in a day. Because a sleeping giant, she fell asleep. While she was asleep, the enemy coming. Oh, we need to pray. We don't need to be sleeping giants. We can boast and people tell us and they make us feel good about the standard of wholeness that's held at Silver Creek Church of God. The services we have, but don't fall asleep. The enemy would love to get us to fall asleep and strip us of everything good that God has gave us. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Sleeping giant. You see, the fullness of bread brought on a pride. And from that pride come a feeling of, we've got plenty in store. There's no use to really work. And the labor now, Then came on an excess of idleness, an excess of not paying attention to what's going on. Then there came in the sodomy, homosexuality, the baser sins that corrupted a land because idleness. You've heard the story we told the children time and again. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. An excess of idleness, an abundance of idleness brought in a sleepiness and a lethargy. That's the reason, church, that I want us to really push it when we come to God's house. Let's not listen to our feelings. Let's don't listen to the aches and squeaks of our aching bodies sometimes. But let's press through that and worship God and not let a spirit of lethargy come in and overcome us when we ought to be lifting up the name of Jesus and glorifying Him. Idleness, Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is great waster. Ecclesiastes, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Through idleness of hands, Sodom. But all of this, Israel's sins were greater than Sodom's in God's eyes. Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The Paul apostle said in Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But when through an unappreciation of fullness of bread comes into a nation, into a house, into a family, pride lifts them up, idleness puts them to sleep, then they could care less for that one that's poor and degenerate and without. Contempt of the poor, it said there at the end, idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. While they can go and get out and get their own self, they're not able to. They're not able to. If they can't, they can't. We saw a boy today, a little baby boy, probably about 3-4 years old. Two little nubs sticking out where wrist and hands should be. Will he be able to supply bread one day for the kitchen table? He might. He'll have to really be helped and trained to do it. And how many of us is not? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus said that's coming in the closing hours of our day. The love of many shall wax cold. Love provokes us to reach out to the needy and to the poor. But when that love waxes cold, we'll only share among our friends. Isaiah 58:6-7, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. That ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Help us tonight, Lord, that we not scringe when we see somebody in need, wondering, oh Lord, what are they wanting? But help us, Lord, to say with all our heart, somebody is in our presence that we may can help. And can y'all hear me tonight? How often I realize there are people that are just out to take advantage of Christian benevolence. You know that as well as I do. And it's been so much in our day until when we see somebody walk through that door that's a stranger and it's obvious there's a need there, or they've dressed to make it appear to be a need. Our quickest response is a scream, oh no. We're going to have to decide whether this is true or false. But oh, if we could just look at them with an eye of love and say, oh God, is there something I can do to help that soul? Would not the discernment of God come upon us quicker and stronger when our heart and intent was focused in the right direction to start with? Israel, Sodom, modern day America, is there much difference? He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. The iniquity of Sodom, they had pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. They did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Yet Israel sinned, and abominations and backslides against God was greater than Sodom's in God's sight. But is our country much less? Is our country much different? Let's pray for our country. Would you